Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Mike Shope.
Like, you're going to die someday, right?
Would I like to be in the hospital right now rather than be here? Yes. Have I ever thought about that? Yes. Right now, I'm thinking about hospitalization.
And the Bulldog.
I've thought about it a few times. There's been a few times, like right now, where I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack and die. I'm here.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Like, I'm over here, and I'm doing what I just did, but it goes badly. And, like, I bang the table, and then, like, I just look at you, and, like, I can't breathe, and you're on the air.
Yeah, I know. I've thought about it. Like, I know exactly what I would do.
Four start talking about
simple words. I on fantasy.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
One thing on the Astros news, and then I want to get to the Ravens here. Anything out there on the four games, the takeaways, something that applies to the Bills here? I didn't find myself too mad at officiating this weekend. I noticed that yesterday and was happy about that, but there probably was something. I guess the Packers, the game I watched the least of was the Packers, and did they get the first down, but the yellow line was wrong. Devontae Adams was on the play and made a point about that. So I didn't have a lot of officiating angst, though, this weekend. All right, so Houston, following up on this earlier I said, I think the only outcome I can stand with on the Astros is if the two guys just get banned forever. Because the only reason for suspending people is to make an impact that goes beyond them. You want to keep other people from doing the same thing. You want to persuade away from the behavior, dissuade. You want people to not do that anymore. Hockey, here comes the worst hit of the day. And, okay, that's a two-game suspension. Like, it's going to matter. You get like the 2 days off for how much money you make. And I do think with these guys getting fired that it might be sufficient, this, though. I think banning them would also do that. So maybe you could have gone farther. But it is a pretty good punishment. They also lost first-round picks and second-round picks and a lot of money, $5 million.
Yeah, 2 years worth of first and second-round picks.
Right. And so is it enough for the two guys to have it be what they're remembered for? And then I also want to make sure not to forget what the crime was. You know, when you do this, you got to remember, well, what was the crime here? And I would want to take this crime seriously.
You should. I mean, to go, like, look, what's the problem with the Patriots? Like, do you think, like, in all sports, aren't teams using people to try to figure out what the other team is doing? I would say yes. But what are the limits on that? You know? Like, this is just me, and, like, I don't know if there are rules forbidding this, but I don't know how you'd really enforce it. If there's someone sitting in the stadium on game day watching you relay your signals into your offense or your defense, and someone is bright enough, thorough enough to figure out some pattern and discern what it is you're doing and gain an edge on that, I say good for them. Like, that's the game is on. I can watch you do that, and I'm not going to discern a damn thing from it. But if someone with some knowledge base can do that, and I can do the same to you, and I'm not using technology in any way to enhance that or streamline it or build a database of it, I'm just watching you. Okay. Like, I don't know how to really stop you from doing that, and if you want to deploy people to do that, I think I'm just going to have to live with that, and if you're better at that than I am, then maybe you have an edge, and shame on me for not being as good as you.
I'm allowed to write it down?
Sure. In this scenario, sure. I guess that's a way you would be building the database. But short of filming it, to me, I don't know how you really enforce that. Maybe it's just like the gentleman's agreement? I mean, come on. So in baseball, like, you're watching a pitcher, and if he's tipping his pitches, which, you know, in which case the batter, I think the idea there is, doesn't really need the help, like if the batter can discern it. But if you're able to figure out what's happening without using your video room and then a garbage can to relay to the batter what's happening, That's in play, in my opinion. Like, I'm in the dugout, and I think I see something, and I'm going to try to use that in any way I can, again, short of using what else is at my disposal that, to me, is outside the lines, like videotaping it and that sort of thing. Now, if I want to watch, how do guys know when a guy is tipping pitches? Well, you watch him pitch, and you figure out that he does this thing or that thing when he's throwing this pitch or that pitch. And
I'm thinking it's probably already come up in video.
Right.
And then when you have the game, like Darvish in the World Series, maybe you've already seen something on video and prepared for it and discussed it, and then if it continues, you're going to be able to take advantage of it.
Yeah. And I think that is that's in play. It might not be. I might be wrong about this, but like to me, that doesn't violate my version of, you know, the rules or the sanctity of the sport or the competition. But when you begin using outside forces, outside implements, garbage cans, you're videotaping, like you've got a camera trained on the catcher and you're relaying that to some room in the bowels of the stadium and they're relaying it to someone with a garbage can. Like, you've got a whole system like that in place. You know, get out of here. Like, that should never be allowed. But I don't know, man. Like, if the guy is on second base and he can see what the catcher's doing, and you don't have a thorough enough pattern of deceiving that guy from knowing what's coming, and he tips off the batter, okay. Like, that's baseball to me. Like, I'm out here, I'm playing, I'm sweating, and I think I know what you're going to do. I think you're going to do, and I'm going to now try to convey that to my guy. Like, I'm all right with that.
Sign stealing.
Yeah. But that's just me. Like, maybe I'm too liberal in that way. I don't know. But
I like the argument you're making very much. I do think you get thrown at.
Sure, that's fine too. Like, I don't have, that's
you'll be ready.
Yeah, like that's a fine. I'm gonna give a little to get a little. You know, like, if that's the price I gotta pay for trying to tell my guy at the plate that there's a splitter coming. All right, fine. Go ahead and put one in my ear hole. I'll take my base. You know, like, I know I'm doing something that's going to piss you off by doing what I'm doing. And if you find out that I'm doing it, you're going to want to take a piece of me. But I think I'm willing to pay that price. Like, that's all, to me, the code and whatever. And, like, that's fine. But when you get to the level that it looks like the Astros and the Red Sox now were at, it's just it's like a factory of deception or a factory of exploitation of the rules using technology. I mean, just get out of here. To me, that's just too far. But that's just me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to be right about all that, but that's generally how I feel about that.
Yeah, it's a good argument.
So,
and then there can be drugs, too, in sports.
Sure. Right?
Drugs are ways to give yourself an advantage where you may or may not get caught.
Right.
Just thinking, really, only that I admit sometimes I'll watch a football game where I'm surprised by how it's going, and I'll sometimes think, well, maybe these guys are all on drugs this week. Maybe they all just juiced up today. Like, would they get caught? Would anybody, teams, and I don't even like thinking it, right? So I'm just telling you honestly, I do think it. Sometimes I think like, wow, look at Tennessee. They're killing them up front. Didn't expect that. Are they doing something they shouldn't be doing? And what are you supposed to think then? Are you supposed to be embarrassed for that or feel guilty about that? I mean, I don't think so. I am a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But sports gives you plenty of reasons to do that. I mean, this adds to it. This Astros thing and Red Sox thing adds to it. And the Patriots videotaping. Like, the Patriot thing sounded bad. And then you go, well, it's also them. So it's probably bad.
Right.
It sounds bad. And the fact that it's New England gives you more reason to think that
right. It
is bad. So I don't know. I mean, these things come along. And what do you want to do about it? I think the reward that the people enjoy, the money and the fame and the glory and the permanence of most of these championships, is such that is the pinnacle. They all say it. We all know it. That is the pinnacle of achievement in their sport. They'd all trade individual trophies for the ring. and you get the ring. And that's what this guy with Houston did not lose. He doesn't have to give up his ring, does he? He loses his job, and he loses his reputation to some extent, but he does not lose his ring. Although, what I was getting at first here, Bulldog, is thinking about them getting fired and wondering, as many times in sports and in life, that people do get the second chance. We like the second chance. Well, but we like that about ourselves as a society. We give people a second chance. As much as we support that and defend that and think like that, I don't know for sure if these guys get second chances. Because if, like you kind of said earlier, if this is considered a worse offense than most other offenses because of what it does to violate the competition, then, you know, he's just a manager. I don't think I have to have this manager,
do I? You could probably find another one. I mean, yeah, to me, that could go either way at this point. It's so early that it's hard to really know. We can all hear a news conference, 2 years from now when the Florida Marlins or the Miami Marlins or whatever the hell they'll be called by then, are hiring AJ Hinch, and he says what he learned from not being authoritative enough and shutting down the thing, and like what, and we're all nodding, going, okay, well, yeah, good, okay, he learned his lesson, it's fine. You've been gone for 2 years, you were suspended for one, they made you sit out another year just cause, and now you're back, okay. You know, or I could see like people in baseball going, yeah, no, like you altered the outcome of the World Series. Your team cheated its way to a title. Like, we did not strip you of that title, but it's very public that you gained an advantage. How big of a one? I mean, I don't know, but you gained an advantage enough that you were suspended for a year and fired for it.
And that they all knew was across the line. Like,
right.
The players knew that. Hinch knew that. Baseball wrote in their ruling that he was not, like, the champion of the idea. That he even was against it, but still didn't put a stop to it.
Right.
And maybe tried or at least showed that he felt that way a couple different times. But players, how was it written about players? That players knew it was wrong, but they weren't going to stop taking the information until the manager said it was okay. Like, that's a cop-out.
Yeah.
That's sort of a
I also
excuse.
Read, and this is the kind of thing that you hear about, like, it doesn't mean it's false, but I'm skeptical. Like, not all the players liked having the information.
Right.
Right. They'd rather just be up there. It messes up their process or something to be waiting to hear and they'd rather just watch the pitch and just try to, you know, have a feel for what the guy's going to try to do to him and react. I don't know about that. Like,
it would mess with your conscience.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, that's right.
If it messes, look, it. Let's not assume all these guys are just cutthroat. And a lot of them would be conflicted, at least, about it. So what are your choices? Rat them out?
We know how that goes.
Or not.
Right.
I mean, what are your choices? Well, the players didn't get fired or suspended. It's almost like baseball is saying, we don't blame the players for taking the information.
It was up to someone above the player level to stop this.
Yeah. Like they're kids or something.
Right.
I mean, really, as adults, you would like to think that they were bothered or they would do something about the behavior. Maybe you could do that as a group. And maybe you do that as a group unless there are certain people in the group that don't want to do it. Maybe the team was divided.
Sure.
About whether to keep going with it. And if they weren't, they could have said, no, this isn't right. This will scar our win forever. And we don't want to have to, you know, walk around like that. We're not the Black Sox here.
We're
already good.
We're going to have to win without this. And now, you know, the thing about cheating is you never get to find that out. Like if you cheat yourself, you know, you don't know if you could have won without the advantage. You know, we certainly don't know. You can guess at it all you want, but we're never going to know. That moment in time is gone, and you scarred it by trying to gain this advantage.
Do I get to keep my winnings?
That is up to the people in charge of your rollover.
Are they going to come for my wins?
I don't know how that. I'm thinking no.
I have not thought about that until right now.
I don't think anyone can do anything about that.
That's like my story is Houston. That was 2017.
This is how it goes.
I'm at parties rooting for the Astros against the Yankees. Like, oh, you just hate the Yankees? No, I don't care about the Yankees. I care about the Astros. Oh, you're from Texas? No, I bet them. I guess maybe I should have. I don't deserve them. Maybe I should give the money back.
Yeah.
Donate it to charity or something, right? Not like I still have it.
I hope all that stuff I said about like what I find acceptable.
I liked it.
I hope that adds up. Like it's not. It's funny. Like I think I'm revealing to you and to anyone listening. Like that's my belief system, my foundation. I did not just sort of think that all through just now today because of what happened with the Astros. Like I guess I was ready to deliver that, but.
You were ready to tell people that you would steal signs as a base runner.
Yeah. If I could, yeah.
if you could figure out the code,
yeah.
You would share that with your team.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah. I'm not using a computer to do it. Like the thing about what the Patriots were caught doing this year, and of course what they were doing back in 2007, is that the right year for Spygate? I think that's right. Is you're videotaping it, right? I mean, I said if you can sit there in the stadium and watch it and discern something from it and use that to your advantage, okay, hats off to you. Taping it allows you to go back and watch it and watch it and watch it and watch it and watch it. And it's a lot easier to crack a code if you can watch it repeatedly and come up with some kind of a pattern or whatever. If you're just watching it live, I mean, I would wish you good luck figuring that out in the span of a football game. Maybe you can discern something that you think you can use next time. But if you're not taping it, then I don't think you've really got much of a look at that. Which is why I'm saying, like, I don't mind. If somebody wants to try to do that, I mean, good luck. I just don't think you're going to really get anywhere.
I don't know. And I think about football, too, is there are big minds out there who could crack these codes. I mean, there are people who are – maybe this Ernie Adams on New England is such a guy, this guy in the mm-hmm. in the dark closets of the Patriots facility that never does an interview, that is Belichick's trusted information guy. Maybe he could just look at your – he doesn't need a – well, maybe there's evidence to the contrary, but he yeah. doesn't really need your thing on videotape. He's just going to be able to look at it and know it's worth something. Here's Jack with us. Hi, Jack.
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking my call. Just had a little bit of a comment on the current topic, and I actually wanted to relate it kind of to football. I heard Deshaun Watson get interviewed after the Bills, the playoff game. He was saying something about he had a look on one of his plays. Kevin Johnson looked like he was coming to blitz, and Deshaun commented, well, he was here last year, and so I checked out of, where we were going, and he heard the check, so I saw him drop. So mm-hmm. pair that to kind of what's going on, and I actually, coming from where I'm coming from, is I played baseball in college, and any player you talk to is going to say, sign stealing is an art, and if you do it the right way and implement it the right way into the game, that you're playing the game. You're just playing the game, kind of what you were saying, Bulldog. So
yeah,
where it becomes an issue, and where it becomes kind of getting into cheating is now the argument that kind of goes on in every sport nowadays is how much technology has been played into the everyday game of whatever sport you're talking about. So, you steal a sign. And I personally was a catcher, and I actually had somebody tell me after a game that they were stealing our signs because they're watching my muscles move in my forearm as I was putting down, as I was calling pitches. So that's how in-depth some of these teams get into trying to steal signs during games. Now when you're implementing having somebody watch a video and during the game – feed that in. Now I think that's where the line in the sand gets drawn of, okay, we're going too far. It's an art to a certain extent, and now you start doing this, and now it's just everybody tries to get, one up on each other. And but I feel like the argument of is it right, is it wrong? Well, that comment I made about, Kevin Johnson dropping because he's heard Deshaun make an audible call that he knew what the audible was, you know, because he played for the Texans last year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's comparable, and I think the bottom line is just do it in the confines of not going too far of cheating, you know, using the technology that's available. And it boils down to just we got to start policing the technology in sports. We really got to put a limit to it, I think. That's
well, but before you hang up, I like the sure. point. I liked a lot of what you said, the point about their muscles, like they would see that. Technology notices these things, and then we take it, and then we teach our players, we teach our team what we saw. And, of course, in pro sports, you're going to have all the money you need to do all of that. So is that then technology crossing the line or not? Is that, like, if I know that I can look there and see a tell, am I not going to look? Or should I not look?
Exactly, and that's where it comes into play. I my personal experience, that was just them looking off the bench. They weren't using any sort of technology, but I see what you're saying. Like, in pro sports, they're going to have the technology to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where the line gets crossed to me. Like, that's the point I'm making, Jack, that I think you agree with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's a hard line in the sand you got to draw when it comes to implementing technology in sports, and this is a prime example of going too far.
Nice job. Thanks a lot, Jack.
I hope I was not the only person listening to Jack talk about that opposing team watching his forearm that rolled up his sleeve or her sleeve and just started flexing my index finger and then my middle. Like, okay, yeah, this is different. Like, a different part of my forearm is moving when I move different fingers. Like that. I never really thought about it, but it's true.
Now he needs a long sleeve.
Right.
Every time he's catching a game, he needs to have long sleeves. It's like poker. Every little
right
movement can be a tell. This does seem fundamental. I mean, knowing what the pitch is going to be does seem pretty fundamental. So part of me who wants to just leave it all alone. Okay, they're just playing. Like this conversation we're having, but there's a line being drawn here. And it does seem pretty fundamental. It does seem like you're talking about a different thing when the batter knows the pitch. So,
well,
I think
sure.
maybe there should be some action. There should be yeah. some punishment, and there definitely was. All right. Baseball, 803-0550, more after sports. Back to the divisional playoff games at some point here soon as well. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I love it. He's an elite player. He's one of the best in the world, and you know, it's just fun to play with him. He's so creative, so fast, and it's just fun to play. We played a couple of years ago a little bit. We had some games together, and any player that's plugged in there and learned their line is an easy spot to play in. Jack carries the team a lot here, and fun and easy to play with him.
Got it.
Zemgus?
Yep. I'm not sure I was all the way there until he talked about playing with him, and I really, because that was a thing last night. He Gergensen's played, started the game on Eichel's line last night.
Buffalo 5, Detroit 1. Next game tomorrow night, home against Vegas, will be at 7-1-6. We'll have Rob Ray, and we think Sabres GM Jason Botterill will join us as well. Tony Corrente,
NFL official,
who was the referee, which is one of the most important official positions, but not, as we learned during the wild card game, the most. That would go to the alternates.
The guys in the black jackets.
He drew Tennessee, Kansas City. So, you know, you hear about merit all the time. Apparently his performance completely screwing up the second half kickoff fumble play was deserving of the AFC Championship game. They just, how many refs are there?
That seems about right.
How many refs are there? Aren't there like 16 refs?
So you're telling me a guy who needed like a team of men in windbreakers from the sidelines to come onto the field and explain to him why what he was doing was so obviously wrong is going to officiate one of the two conference championship games?
Yes.
Okay, that seems good.
Now, I do want to clarify this. Maybe the guy makes more right calls than everybody else, but that was so embarrassing. I sometimes feel like this is one of these things that if it weren't Buffalo, it would have been talked about. But since it was, it just went away. I mean, did you ever see any other coverage of that play? It was just decided that, oh, no, common sense prevailed. Corrente was calling the play by the rules as he knows them. And they ultimately came in and said, no, you can't do that. And what do I want him to do? As we talk about administrativeness and
right,
or administration and the Astros and all this, what do we want him to do? Like, just absolutely refuse?
Stand his ground.
And say, no, that was a touchdown?
Stand there in the end zone. No, I refuse to change the call. Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't want that.
As I kid about him getting this promotion because I think it's easy to do that. Really, the problem isn't him. The problem is just, as we talked about, or at least you and I did, I don't know if anybody else talked about it because it didn't matter to anyone else outside of Buffalo, I guess. It's about the rule book when it's convenient for it to be about the rule book, and it's about common sense when it's convenient for it to be common sense. And all these little meaningless details that sports year after year after year folds into its rules. Really don't need any of them. If we're just going to make it common sense, we really don't need any of them. What's a catch? Well, we don't need rules. We just have common sense. What's a goal? We don't really need goal interference. Let's just use common sense.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really all you need and should have.
You probably are right that no one else outside of here really cared about it because, I don't know, is it possible that radio show hosts in Seattle are poring over, I don't remember which, it's a rushing touchdown, third and goal, second half.
Last night?
Yeah.
Aaron Jones.
Yeah. And the official who comes running in from the top of the screen is the one who signals touchdown, or at least that's the one that I see. I don't know what the bottom guy was doing because I don't think I saw it. And when they showed replays, I don't know how that guy could discern that the ball had broken the plane. Like, I didn't study it and rewind it, but I mean, I watched the replays that they offered, and it felt to me like Mike Pereira's definitive take on it was, I don't see anything here that warrants changing the call, so I think it's going to stand. And when I hear that, I mean, that's just absolutely not, I'm sure the ball broke the plane. It's, I can't really see, and I'm wondering how the guy on the field saw, but I guess he did, and we're not spending any time talking about some injustice on the Seahawks, but I'll bet they are, because, I mean, I don't know. I don't really feel like I knew that guy scored, but whatever.
No, that's right.
You know, it's close enough.
I'm not standing on top of rooftops telling you that the Bills deserve the touchdown. I just think that their duplicitousness and the constant contradictions that never really get called out because they're the ones doing all the talking, meaning the league and its broadcasters, should get called out. And the thing about the second half kickoff is, no, the Bills deserve it. It's not as much. Like, people were, I said a lot on Twitter about it, and a lot of people were tweeting me, like, you're right, it should have been a touchdown. Like, I'm not really saying it should have been a touchdown. I'm just telling you that the referee isn't in charge of the game. Do you know that?
Right.
Because Fox and CBS and ESPN don't seem to know that or care. And if a line judge makes a mistake, if it's a mistake, like you're saying last night, okay, we see that in every game.
Right.
But here it was, the referee made a call. It would be totally different to me if the guy in the end zone were any official but the referee. And the referee comes in and says, no.
No, come on. Guys have been doing this all year. He gave himself up enough. We all know it's fine. Or something. Yeah, I get,
like,
you.
Even this tweet, you know, I guess you could say celebrating who the referees are for the championship games, like it's an honor, and it's, you know, news. These are going to be the two, Tony Corrente and John Hussey are getting these games, but they're not really in charge of the game. Every one of these tweets, and every time the broadcasters refer to the referees, it should be Al Riveron. He's the only one who matters. Or Goodell. Those are the only ones that matters. Everybody else is just, they're just pawns. Calling false starts or whatever. And when the referee, especially if it matters, a guy like of distinction, all the refs really are this, but this guy gets big games, and he, 2 weeks after that happens, and, you know, whether it's Josh Allen getting hit in the head or 20 other things from that game, 2 weeks later, he's right back on the field.
Right.
It's really bad. I don't know what you do about it. I don't know what you do about it. I mean, I like the idea of full-time officials. I like the idea of putting more effort into it, but it just seems pretty far gone. And what I think is preventable is all these replay and rules changes, like pass interference reviews and things that are so stupid, you can't believe they get off the ground, and then they're actually rules. And, like, nobody has thought through what will happen. What will happen if you do this? You guys know? Here's what's going to happen. Oh, you want anybody who lowers their helmet upon impact to be a penalty? Remember that? That was last year.
Right.
Last year, you lower, that's like 100 plays in a game. You lower your helmet for contact, that is now a personal foul, even if you have the ball. Like, that's just a penalty now. And then the preseason started, and we had a couple. It was like, wait a minute. Like, you're watching a cartoon football. Where, like, you know what's going to happen with Bugs Bunny or whoever, Wile E. Coyote. Like, you're watching, it's like a cartoon. I wonder what's going to happen when somebody lowers his head. I know, nothing.
Right.
Because now we're going to think about it. Well, I didn't and then you'll hear, like, Troy Aikman tell you, oh, they didn't realize, what was, what was the one, was it, oh, maybe it's offsides. There was one particular time when there was something like this, and then the sports guy said, we didn't expect coaches to challenge for these details.
Was that in hockey with the offsides challenge? Because that, talk about, you know, unforeseen circumstances. Like,
everything about that was predictable.
Yep.
And somebody in one of these cases went, we didn't expect, and then we went into the clear and obvious era of replay explanations. Now it's clear, as if they don't even really mean the same thing. They kind of do mean the same, but now it's clear and obvious is the buzzword or buzzwords. Didn't I say earlier this was not a weekend for the refs? Like, it really didn't have refs stuff.
I guess, but this Corrente thing, I don't want to say, irrespective of the call in the end zone. Was that game last Saturday well officiated? Should anyone involved in that game? You had, like, Houston didn't get called for a single action infraction, like holding, interference, anything, offensive or defensive, like nothing. They had false starts, right? That was the extent of their penalties.
4 dead ball, 5-yard penalties.
Right. So that could be offsides too, encroachment, whatever. That's it. And, you know, you had the headshot on Allen. You had this weird crackback block thing on Cody Ford. And not to mention that this fiasco at the start of the second half in the end zone. I don't know that anyone that worked that game should be being rewarded with more games. It was kind of a poorly officiated game.
Someone has to do it, though.
I guess. Yeah, that's right. They need a crew.
Dan Fouts had the Ravens, and I have a friend who's not really a Dan Fouts fan. I don't know. Like, I'm critical of a lot of these announcers, but I've always kind of liked Fouts. I liked him as a player. Got to have a soft spot for him. And Bill Vinovich was the referee Saturday night. And Ian Eagle, I thought he did a nice job, too. He said early in the game how Vinovich's crew, now they didn't really explain that it really wasn't his crew, right? It was only, don't they mix it up?
I they've gone back and forth on that, but I think that's where they are now.
Yeah, I think they mix it up. But either way, he said how Bill Vinovich's crew called the fewest penalties in the league. And there were like three or four big penalties. Lamar Jackson on the interception grabbed the guy around the head, and you have Gene Steratore saying it really shouldn't have been a penalty. And like there were big calls right early, a few of them early in this game. And Fouts said to Ian Eagle on one of the replays of these penalties, he said, "Didn't you say earlier that this guy has the fewest, Vinovich has the fewest penalties in the league?" And Ian Eagle said, "Yes." And Fouts said something like, "Well, he's hot tonight." Just a great little one-liner. I've always liked Fouts. And the one line I think of him for the most is when he was working on Monday Night Football with Dennis Miller and Al Michaels. And I'm sorry for, like, going on here, but the line was how the referee that night was, I think it was Ron Blum. This is like 20 years ago. And the guy's real job was golf pro.
Okay.
And so they're reviewing some play, and, you know, you see the instant replay, and Fouts goes, "I know what they called on the field, but if that's incomplete, Al, I'm Arnold Palmer." Something like that, referring to how the guy was a golf pro. He came right back with it, was fast and good. And I don't know. I should probably know the line if I'm going to tell a story about it.
And you captured the spirit of the thing.
Yeah.
That's what matters. It's the thought that counts.
Fouts has been on with us two or three times. He's just okay. Doesn't seem like he's that into it when he's been on with us. It's been a while.
He really has been on two or three times
with us? Yeah, yeah.
What is
We've been on 20 years almost.
I know.
He's been there the whole time. We've had him on a couple times.
That just seems like something I should remember, but I don't
know. No?
No.
No memory of Fouts?
No.
I like him. Right. He's still going with that beard, too.
I'm not right.
If Dan Fouts shaved, minds would be blown.
Right. Yeah, that goes back to the 80s.
Oh, yes.
Got to respect that.
You do. I mean, just one look. He's still going with it. All right. Kind of a fun day.
I'm at like 2010. I last shaved clean during the second intermission of the gold medal game at the 2010 Winter Olympics.
Ryan Miller.
Yeah. I was so nervous. I was literally pulling hairs out of my face watching the game, and I went upstairs and shaved during the second intermission. And I've not shaved fully since.
Wow.
That's a pretty good run.
Yes.
We're coming up on 10 years.
803-0550 for your stories. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, WGR.
I want to tell you about your opportunity here to breathe in a great deal from Pure Air Care. You can get air duct and dryer vent cleaning for just $99. The regular price of that is $260. That's over a 60% savings. Pure Air Care is today's perk of the day. Get details at getmyperks.com. Remember, the perks to living in Western New York are just a few clicks away at getmyperks.com.
I was planning on talking more about Lamar Jackson today than we have. Let's do some of that, maybe at the top of the hour here, which is just a couple minutes. Slip in here that Jeff Luhnow, the now fired GM of the Houston Astros, has issued a statement, and he denies involvement. And maybe he's already done that, and I don't know, but he has done that here. "I am not a cheater. I did not know rules were being broken. As the commissioner set out in his statement, I did not personally direct, oversee, or engage in any misconduct," and so on. One thing more that was interesting to me from the commissioner's statement on this was that it included a reference, or at least one, to organizational culture as exemplified by that assistant who was mouthing off to female reporters about Roberto Osuna after they advanced earlier this year, too.
Yeah.
Mouthed off might be putting it,
it was
mildly.
Like, yeah, I would say so.
So that could maybe be, I don't know if it's part of the punishment, but if I own this team, I feel like I've got to clean it up.
Yeah.
And this guy was that guy's boss.
Right. I thought they needed to do that because of that thing, let alone this. Like, that's kind of what I meant earlier when, like, you know, I said usually the crimes against the game get punished more severely than blatant sexual intimidation or harassment, for example, which is what the, I guess it was an assistant general manager, was heard doing and later admitted. I mean, they mangled the apologies and responsibility for that situation badly to the point where it took until they were really pushed all the way up against the wall, had nowhere else to go,
right,
before they finally sort of got it right. And even then, it was still very sloppy in the way they handled all that.
Right. At first, they blasted SI.
Yeah. They said the whole thing was lies, and yeah, it was brutal.
And so who's in charge of that? I mean, this guy, he was at the top, so he's gone. And he's a big name in baseball. Like, Lunau, not just from winning, like, leading up to that, the build of the Astros and the analytics aspect of their build and having, like, the 0.0 TV ratings at the bottom of that when they were losing all the time. Like, he's a, I don't know if he's a giant, but he's a famous figure in the sport, and he is out. The Ravens lose. I'll give you my, I have a list, but the thing about that happening that I'm bummed out about the most when we come back. I mean, I was rooting for them, and I'll tell you the number one reason why I was sad to see them lose. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, that is next. We'll get back to football here on WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.